Be'ezra Hashem Yisbaruch, we begin Perek Asi, the 10th Perek in the Rambam Hilchas Machalos Asuris regarding the forbidden food items to be eaten in the Sefer Kedusha, the Book of Sanctity, which is that which regarding what we eat is an integral part of our sanctity. In this Perek, we segue into a difference, as the Rambam points out in the first halacha, to the prohibitions of things that sprout. As the Rambam says, he opens up in Halacha Alf, he says, Kol Yisurin Shemarin, all the prohibitions that we had spoken about in the previous 9 chapters, Heim B'minei Nefesh Chaya, they were all regarding living creatures, regarding things that are animals, or things that are animated, and regarding different parts of them. Now, but, says the Rambam, Yesh Yisurin Achayim Shal Teira B'Zerah Ha'arz, there are other biblical prohibitions regarding things that sprout from the ground, and Behema they are, HaChadosh, the Isser regarding the new grain, B'Kilei Kerem, and the forbidden mixtures in the vineyard, V'Tevel and Untaith Produce, V'Arla, and the fruits of a tree in the first 3 years, which the Rambam here, he's specifying these things, he's discussing things that are specifically regarding the generic Isurim of things that grow from the ground. In other words, there are obviously other prohibitions relating to things that grow from the ground, like Truma, Trumas Mais, and Bikurim, but those are limited to non-Kahana, but for Kahana, they're permitted, and that those halachas are actually in Sefer Zeroyim, regarding things that are planted from the ground. And there are other prohibitions regarding living creatures that the Rambam didn't explain in the first 9 chapters, and those are all, however, by karbanis that are mukdashim, like pigul, neser, and tameh, as the Rambam explains those in Sefer Avaida. But here he's talking about general, generic isurim that apply to things that are sprouts, that are vegetation that grow from the ground. As the Rambam begins to explain one by one, as he just listed them, the first one being the prohibition of eating what's called chadash. As the Rambam says, halacha beis chadash case, what is this prohibition about what's called the new grain? So says the Rambam, kol echad mechamisha minei tevul bavad. Every one of the five types of grain, which is wheat, barley, spelt, rye, and oats, asa lacha machadash shaloi. Specifically, only from those 5 grains, it's forbidden to be eaten from the new grain. Before the Omer, which is the barley offering brought on the 16th of Nisan, the second day of Pesach, only then, once that's sacrificed, can you eat from the new grain. Shlomo says in the Pasuk, and Vayikra, Velechem, and bread, Vakali, and the roasted grain, Vakarmel, and the fresh grain, the fresh kernels, Lay Soichlu, you should not eat it, which the Pasuk there says, Ad Etzema Yemezeh, Ad Yoim Havayachem, is carbon alkechem, until you bring back carbon, which is the carbon of the Omer. And Vachol Oichlu, Kazayas Chadish, Koin Makrevas Omer, whoever eats an olive of this olive size, of the new grain before the Omer, before the barley offering of the Omer was sacrificed, like Metar, he gets lashes biblical, b'chol makom, b'chol zman, wherever the grain has grown in any time in the world, as the Rambam explains each one of those, b'im ba'aretz, b'im chutz la'aretz, which is just qualifying b'chol makom, whether it's in Eretz Yisrael or grows out of Eretz Yisrael, b'im b'fnei habayis, b'im shelo b'fnei habayis, whether when it's the time the Beis HaMikdash is around, when the Beis HaMikdash is not around, which that's b'chol zman. Ella, the only difference, however, is Shabbisman Sheish Mikdash, when there is a temple, when there's a base of Mikdash, Mishikrav Ha'omer, Hutra Chodesh Bishlaim. When the Omer was sacrificed, then the new grain on that day, then the new grain becomes permitted. And Vamachaim is Hurachaikim, and the faraway places who don't know when it's sacrificed, Mutar Machachatzais, they're permitted already from noontime, Shein Bezn Mesaslam by Adachachatzais, because the cords that are in charge of the Kam, they're not lazy and they don't push it off until after noon, so you already know that by noontime, the Omer is already sacrificed. The difference is, when there's no temple, biblically the whole day of the 6th of Nisan is going to be forbidden, because the Pasuk says, until the essence of this day, which is the whole day, and there's no carbon to permit it, so it's the whole 16th of Nisan that would be forbidden. Now, in today's day, says the Rambam, place in the diaspora that they have 2 days Yom Tov, which we treat the 16th of Nisan like the 15th of Nisan, so then, HaChadosh Asar Kol Yom Yud Zayin B'Nisan Ad La'Erev, so therefore it's going to be forbidden up until the end of the 17th to 17th of Nisan, which is like what we treat our first day Chol HaMoed, which is really what the Tezayin is in the Eretz Yisrael, is what the 17th of Nisan is Ad La'Erev until the evening, and that's from Devar Seifim, that's from Rabbinic law, that not only the whole 16th, but because of that Sveika Deyema, up until the end of the 17th. Now, says Rama Lacha Gimel Ha'ichel Lechem. Someone does eat bread, bakali, or the roasted grain, bakarmala, the fresh grain, kizayis mukalech ve'echad, an olive size of every one of those three categories we just spoke about. Look, a shalosh malkis, it gets three sets of lashes. Shem like says in the pasuk, "V'lechem v'kolei v'chamer lo yisaychlu." It says bread and the roasted grain and the fresh grain lo yisaychlu shouldn't eat. Which mepiash mulamdu from the tradition they learned to interpret shalosh and balav and chaluk and zemezeh that each one of them, all three, have separate prohibitions and thus to get a separate set of lashes for each one of them. Now halacha dal. Rambam further qualifies. It says, "Kol tavua sheshrisha koidim hakrabas ha'omer." So any grain that took root before the omer was sacrificed, specifically when the omer was sacrificed, so as long as it took root before that, even though they had already harvested it already, afa pishalim nigmer elacha shakrab. Now, even though that grain didn't finish maturing or ripening until after that the omer was already sacrificed, doesn't make a difference. Mutaras bachilis can be permitted to eat that grain, mishakar v'aymer, when you sacrifice the aymer, because it had already taken root, and that's the criterion, before the aymer was sacrificed. Now, utfush yeshusha achashakar v'aymer, but if you have a grain that took root only after the aymer was already sacrificed, so af b'shahesa zruah kain shakar v'aymer, although it was already planted before the aymer was sacrificed, doesn't make a difference. Harez asur, it's going to be forbidden, atshayikra v'aymer shal shanaba, until you bring the aymer the following year. Because again, when it took root, there was never an omer yet that was sacrificed, and that's the criterion. And Bedin said this law is b'chol mokim in any place, or b'chol zman in any time, min ha-Torah, from biblical law. Now, halacha hei, says the Rambam, t'vua sheshrisha achar ha-omer. If you have grain that took root after the omer was sacrificed. Okay, so again, it was not permitted from the previous omer. Now, uketzara, but it was harvested, and then b'zor min achid makarka. Interesting case, and then it was from that wheat kernels was replanted into the ground. And then you have the following year's omer that was being sacrificed, which would permit the wheat had he not subsequently replanted them. And the wheat is still in the ground, but it didn't take root, because it would take root, of course, it would be permitted with the next year's omer. So harei lo safik in material omer. So this is in doubt, is this next year's omer permitting it? Kilu hayu menachem bekar, as if it was just laying there in a jug, because this was already planted this last season, and now we already had this next year's omer. And if it was in a jug, it would be permitted. And this was just like the earth is like a jug for it. Or lo yatarais, no, maybe even this next year's omer is not permitting it. Nishabot lebekarka, because it's nullified in the ground, and it's like a new planting, and it didn't take root before this next omer either, and therefore it's not being permitted. And it wasn't with the last year's; it was only planted after the last year's omer. So it's in doubt. Therefore, if someone gathers from those wheat kernels, which, again, had been planted this past year after last year's omer, but it was harvested and then replanted again before this next year's omer, and it didn't take root yet, if someone gathers them and eats them, ain't it like it doesn't get lashes, because as a suffix, one does not get biblical lashes, but we do give him rabbinic lashes, like any doubt regarding biblical prohibition that someone violates, he gets rabbinic lashes. Another similar type of a doubtful case is Shibailis, regarding a stalk, Shevia Shlish Melefnei HaOmer, which that's the qualifier. It already matured a third before the Omer, so it was permitted with the Omer, but Vakara, so it would, then it was torn out, Ushasala Achashakar VaOmer, and then was replanted after the Omer was sacrificed. So again, it was before the Omer, and then it wasn't in the ground then. It was replanted after the omer was sacrificed. Vaisifa, and now, as after it was replanted, it now increased because it was replanted. Harizu Safik. So this is a doubt. Imtia Surum Neateseb. Should it be forbidden because of the additions, which did grow now, Achiyeb HaOmer Ba, which was never permitted, until the new omer, the next year's omer is brought? I look to Yasur, maybe it's not going to be forbidden. Sharish Risha Kadim Omer, because ultimately it took root before the omer. And you're going to go after the primary, which had already grown a third before the omer, which was considered as if it was completed, and it took root, and therefore maybe it should be permitted. Therefore, since it's a doubt, again, one should not go ahead and eat it. And one did, one would not get biblical, but would get rabbinic lashes. Now, Allah Abba Ram continues regarding the next issue that he spoke about, regarding the Kalai HaKerem. Says the Rambam, Kilei HaKerem Ketzad. What's the case of forbidden mixture in a vineyard? Says the Rambam, Min Mimine Tfuah. Someone takes some type of a grain, Oimin Yerokis, or some types of vegetables, Shenizrim HaGevim, which was planted with the grapes in the vineyard. So, Ben Shazari saw whether it was a Jew who planted, Ben Shazari Goy, whether it was a Gentile who planted. It doesn't make a difference who planted. We're talking about the prohibition of eating it over here. Ben Shalom Aleim, whether if they grew by themselves. Or all the other way around too, whether one planted a grapevine in the vegetable patch. Both the vegetables and the grapes, or the grain and the grapes, they're both going to be forbidden to eat and to have benefit. Shnemak says in the Pasuk, in the Var, Pentiktash Hamaleya Hazera Asha Tizra, maybe Tiktash, which is the Gemara translates as actually Tukat Eish, which is like a sanctification of actually Tukat Eish, it has to be burned in fire, then maybe it's going to become problematic. Hamaleya, the fullness of the seeds which were planted, Utvuas Hakerem, and the produce of the vineyard. Klem, in other words, what I mean to say is Pentisrachik, maybe it's going to be Tukdash, maybe it's going to be distanced, but Tesesh Neim, both of them are going to be forbidden if you plant them together. So you see that you can't, not only can you not eat it, but like it's saying, a Tukadish has to actually be burnt in the fire, you can't have any benefit from it. Halacha Zayin. Now, Voichel Kizais Mekleakim, someone does eat an olive size of from the forbidden mixtures in the vineyard, Beim in the yard, Beim in the oven, whether it's from the vegetable part or whether from the grape pot, look at Minay Torah, he gets biblical lashes, which name it, and both combined, you have a half a kezias of the grain, half a kezias of the grapes, they combine for this prohibited mixture of the kezias of the kleakam. Now halacha chas, but medvamer, when do we say this? It should nizru be'eretz Yisrael, if it was planted in Eretz Yisrael, in the land of Israel, but out of Eretz Yisrael, keleha kerem debisayfim, the laws of forbidden mixtures in a vineyard are only rabbinic. Or behilchas kalayim yisbarim, says the Ram, in the laws of kalayim, which is in Sefer Zeroyim, he will only talk about the prohibition of eating having benefit from the kalay kerem. But in the laws of the forbidden mixtures, well, it's going to explain, eze min osra bekalay hakerem, what type of a species are forbidden in the forbidden mixtures of a vineyard, veze min einen osra, which species are not a problem, veheichas, how does it make it problematic, umasi osra, when is it going to be forbidden, veze the mekadosh, which thing makes it in this state of tukdash, that you have to burn it, ve'ize einem kadosh, which one does not make it into the state of, as the pasuk says, pentikdash, and that's all explained in Hilchos Klein. Now halacha tes Ram continues regarding the other vegetation that are prohibited, ha'arlo, ketzad, what's the qualification of the prohibition of arlo? So says the Ram, kol nekei ila michel, if someone, whoever plants a fruit tree, kol per she'isa isa ila and shalish shana mishanata, all the fruits, the produce that the tree makes in the first 3 years from when it was planted, harei masurim b'achil b'na, those fruits are forbidden to be eaten and to have benefits. Shlomo says in the pasuk in Vayikra, shalish shana yilchem harelim, for 3 years it should be closed up, lo ye achel, it should not be eaten, and ba'al v'chol oichel mem kizais, whoever does eat from them and now says like minatara, he gets biblical lashes. Now halacha yud. The midrum, when we say this, b'netei b'eretz Yisrael. Here also, it's only if it's planted in Eretz Yisrael. Shem like it says in the Pasuk over there, v'chisavoyu el ha'aretz v'gayim, when you come to the land, etc. That's where the prohibition of arlo applies. Aval esa arlo b'chutzlatz, but the prohibition of arlo of the fruits first 3 years out of Eretz Yisrael is halacha meish from Sinai. It's only halacha, which is tradition from meish from Sinai, which it was said there, a little different than that of Eretz Yisrael. That only shavadi ha'arlo b'chutzlatz asura. Only the definitive arlo out of Eretz Yisrael is forbidden, but it's sveika mutter, although generally a subject derais lo chumra, but the halacha mishum b'sinai was said regarding the doubtful arla out of Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be permitted. Or behilchas ma'aseh sheni yisbar, and the laws of ma'aseh sheni, in the second level will be explained, dvar ma'asur mishum arla, what are the things that are prohibited in the context of arla, or dvar ma'atam, the things that are permitted. Now halacha yedav, the Ram continues regarding what's the situations of doubt regarding these laws of arla and klai kerem that we spoke about. So Ram explains that Sveik Arla, the Kalai HaKerem be'Eretz Yisrael. If it's a doubt regarding the Arla fruits or the Kalai HaKerem in Eretz Yisrael, so that's also, that's a Sabak Derez that's going to go Lachum. But Besuria in Syria, Vahi, and that, though they are Aratzah, Shekavash, David, those are the lands that David and Melech conquered, which was beyond the boundaries that the Torah said for Eretz Yisrael, which was considered as a personal conquest, and therefore does not have the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael, so therefore with the halach is that the doubt is actually Mutter, that if it's not clear, if it's Arlo Klai Kerem, it's actually going to be permitted. As Ram explained, Kate said, how so? Are you Kerem? If there was a vineyard, V'Arlo, and it was forbidden because its fruits were from the first 3 years. Now, V'anavnim Karas Chutzalai, and out of this forbidden Arlo vineyard, there were grapes being sold right outside that vineyard. Or let's say, Hayyarak Zeru B'Toich, or let's say in this vineyard, there was a vegetable planted inside, which that vegetable is forbidden because of Klai Kerem. The yark, nebukur chutzalai, and you have vegetables being sold right outside those forbidden vegetables that are planted inside the vineyard. Oh, so shemim and huzeh, it's not sure. Maybe these grapes or these vegetables are from the forbidden plantation inside. Shemim me'achar, maybe it's from somewhere else. So besurya mutter, in Surya, unlike Eretz Yisrael, that doubt is going to be permitted. Now, b'chutzalai, it's even more. Afilu rahan novim yoytzis mikerem arli, even if you see the grapes coming out of the vineyard that is earlier vines. A yard gate, something like him, where you see the vegetables being brought out from the vineyard itself. Lekechmim, you could still buy from them because it's still a doubt. You don't know for sure, and that's a greater leniency you have regarding chutzlars, more than even that of Surya. Now, but as long as shleyiro isad beitim in the arla, as long as you don't see that they're actually harvesting from those arla grapevines, you saw the guy picking the vegetable out of the forbidden mixture in the vineyard. As long as it's not definitively arla klai kerem, because even that would be forbidden in chutzlars. Now, Lachid Beis, the Ram continues regarding kerem, a vineyard, choose fake arla, which is not clear if it's already, it's within the 3 years or not. Or fake klai, we're not sure if there were vegetables planted over here. The Eretz Yisrael, also like we said, in Eretz Yisrael, the suffix is going to be lochomra, or besuria mutter, and suria is going to be permitted. As we said, those svekas in regarding suria is permitted. Vein tzorch lemechutzah, and for sure, we have to say, which is more lenient regarding out of Eretz Yisrael. Now, Halacha Yud Gimel, Chavis Yayin, regarding a barrel of wine, Hanimtzis Temuna Bepardesh Al Arla, if you find it hidden in an orchard that has Arla fruits growing, and you find the barrel of wine there amongst the orchard. So, the Girsa is Asura Bishtia, however, some of the Girsa that Muteres Bishtia, so it's debated if it's forbidden to drink or not, but Umuteres Banoya. But we're going to say that it's actually permitted to have benefit from it, although generally the arla is forbidden, as we said, to have even hana. But here it's going to be permitted. Why? Because if a thief, it's hidden, right? So we're worried, did a thief steal it? But he won't hide it in the place where he stole from. So therefore, although it's hidden over here in this orchard of arla, we don't have to assume, or neither should we suspect, that it's from here itself. And therefore, we could presume that it's actually not that of arla, and therefore it's going to be permitted to have benefit. Now, avala navman mitzom timun v'sham, but if you have the grapes themselves that are hidden over there, that's assumed that it's forbidden because shem v'sham nilketu b'tznei v'sham, because maybe from there was plucked and it's hidden right over there somewhere until people are not going to be there, and because of the grapes themselves, then it would be forbidden even to have benefit from it. Halacha yadalt. Goy v'yisrael shoy shutofen banati. If you have a Gentile and a Jew, they were partners in a sapling, in a plantation. If from the beginning, from the get-go of the contractual understanding of the partnership, they stipulated the Gentile will eat the 3 years of the arla, which is anyways forbidden for the Jew, and the Jew will eat, he'll get the produce of the 3 years from the permitted years, which is after the 3 years, correlating to the years of the arla. Says the Ram, hariza mutter, that's permitted. Because the Jew's not having benefit from the arla, because that's the contractual obligations. He works for the first 3 years and he gets it, and he works the next 3 years and he gets it. But if they didn't stipulate this from the beginning, then it's forbidden because the Jew is having benefit by switching, which he had the rights in the first 3 years of arla, with the other years, and that's considered having benefit from arla, which is forbidden. Now, says the Rambam, even regarding what we opened up with, even if they had stipulated, as long as they don't come to an actual calculation, as Ram says, Ketzad, how so? What would be problematic? Even if they had stipulated that he gets 3 years, that would be problematic. It's going, for example, Sheikhashiv Kama Paris, he's going to start calculating, say, counting how much produce did the Gentile have in the first 3 years of Arla. So connected to my Paris, that the Jew wants to make sure he gets that same amount of Paris in the other years. That's the contractual stipulation. Also, that's forbidden. Sure, it's a kamachal of Paris Arla, because that's like swapping what you're getting for the fruits of Arla. I'm going to get the other year. Well, that's getting benefit from the swapping of the Paris Arla. That can't be done. You get 3 years, I get 3 years. That could be done, but not an actual calculation down to the number of the Paris. Halacha tezvav, and related to Arla, what's called netarevai, regarding the trees, the fruits of the tree in the fourth year. Says the Rambam, and regarding the redemption of it, says Rambam, Yerali, it appears to me, she'in de netarevai, that the halacha of netarevai, which is the sapling in its fourth year, is not noyig b'chutzla. It does not apply out of Eretz Yisrael. And now the reason for that is because there's a gzeres shava of kodesh learning out netarevai from Maisa Sheni. So therefore, just like Maisa Sheni does not apply in chutzla, so too netarevai does not apply in chutzla. Ela oichel perishon revius blei pinyan klal. Rather, says Rambam, you could eat the fruits of the fourth year out of Eretz Yisrael without any redemption at all. Shlo amr ela arla. They only said that the rabbinic law of Arla is going to apply, but not that of Netrevai. Now, says Ram, I'll prove to you, v'kavochem advarim, it's a kavochem. Uma Surya, if Syria, shechayevis b'maisis, u'bashvizim in the brain, where it has the rabbinic laws of maestris, of the typhing, and of the shemitah years, In the chayev is met revoy, kamish barbech l'maseh sheni. He says it's not obligated net revoy, as Rambam is going to explain in laws of maseh sheni. So chutzla is out of Eretz Yisrael, meaning further than Syria. Lekoshkin shli net revoy noigba. Obviously, it's not going to have the laws of net revoy applying to it. Now, for Eretz Yisrael noigba, but in Eretz Yisrael it applies bein mifnei habayis, bein shalay mifnei habayis, whether based on this run or whether it's not around. Now he says v'hayim mix is going to some of the guy who had ruled shekerim revoy levade poyd noise b'chutzla. That there is some element. Not netaravai, which is the fruits of any tree, specifically the fourth year fruits of a vineyard, which has some stringencies in halacha over regular trees, that the vineyard's fourth year fruits does have to be redeemed out of Eretz Yisrael, and only then it's going to be permitted to be eaten, which Rambam says, there's no primacy to this concept, and one is not there's no obligation for the even keremavai in chutzlatz. Halacha tazayin. Perish on the revius kula, the entirety of the fruits of the fourth year. Also lechem em be'eretz Yisrael atrei padu. One is not allowed to eat from them in Eretz Yisrael until they're redeemed. Uvehilchas ma'aser sheni is bo mishpati pidyonim. It says in the laws of ma'aser sheni, in the laws of the second tithe will be explained, which also has similar halachas of redeeming, will be explained the laws of how they're redeemed, b'dinei chalasim, how you can eat them. Umeimisaymoin la'arla, when you start the counting of the Arla regarding those first 3 years of prohibition, when you start counting the fourth year, because they have different Rosh Hashanahs, and that's all explained over there. But in Halacha Yitzayin, the Rambam explains, so Ketzad Poydin Peiris Net Revay Bezman Hazeh. How does one redeem the fruits of Net Revay in today's times? So Acha Sha'oisev Oisem, specifically, it's only after he gathers them, not when they're attached, Mevarach makes a bracha. Baruch Ata Hashem Lekin Melech Elim, blessed are you, Hashem our God, King of the world, Asher Kedushan Ben Tzvayis, who sanctified us with his commandments. Vitzivana Pidyon Net Revay, and he commanded us on the redemption of the fruits of the fourth year. Vachach Poytas Kulam, and then he can redeem them all, Vavilim Pruta Achas, even on one coin. Vayman, he says, Hardei Eilu Pidyon Bepruta Zu, they are redeemed with this coin. Umashlech Eisa Pruta Liyam HaMelech, and he throws that coin into the Dead Sea so that no one should find it and come to a stumbling block, because really the halacha is that we have the Net Revay supposed to be brought to Yerushalayim, and or the redemption brought up there, but we don't have that halacha anymore. So therefore, what it's actually done is, so we throw it into the Yam HaMelech so that no one has any benefit from it. Or what he could do is he could deconsecrate it onto a pruta's worth of other produce. And he says, all these fruits of the fourth year are deconsecrated on these wheat, on these barleys, or anything similar to that. He burns those pigeon of the Net Revay, again, Kadesh Lee to Kalachem, that it shouldn't be a stumbling block for other people because one cannot go ahead and have a benefit from that. Voichel Kalapiris, and then he could go ahead and eat all those pears. Again, we don't want this to be a stumbling block for anyone. We're not in the state to eat that anymore, and therefore, again, it could either be on the coin and thrown into Yam Melech, or one could burn it. Now, Loch Yitches. Some of the guy ruled. That even if one did redeem the fruits of the fourth year, or he did some type of deconsecration, that still he's not allowed to eat that net revay until it's in the fifth year from when the tree was planted. Says Ram, there's no primacy to this concept. And the Yerali, it seems to me, that this is the mistake of their ruling. Because their reasoning was, because it says in the pasuk, in the fifth year they should eat their fruit. Which, it sounds like they could only eat it in the fifth year, even if they redeemed the fourth year. It says, Ram, no, you know what the pasuk is coming to say? Then in the fifth year, they could eat their fruit without redemption, like any regular mundane fruits in the world. And therefore, you don't have to be concerned for their ruling, because in the fourth year, you could eat it with redeeming. The fifth year is without any redemption whatsoever. But you don't have to wait for Net Revay that was redeemed up until the fifth year. Halacha Yitzes, now Ram continues regarding the other Isra of Tzmicha that was mentioned, regarding Hatevel Ketzad, how do you have the halacha, the prohibition of untithed produce? So says Ram, is kol oichel, so any food item, shu chayv lahafish men the truma maises, that is an obligation, the zibber, truma, which goes to the kohen, maises, which goes to Levi. So koidim shiyafish men, before you separated those type from that produce, nikra tevel, it's called tevel, vasalach men, it's forbidden to eat from it, shenem, like it says in the pasig, v'loichalu es kodshim in the yisod, they should not desecrate the holiness of the holy things of the Jewish people, isa sheyirimu l'Hashem, which will be separated for Hashem. Kolayim, in other words, l'yinigo behem minig chulin, don't treat these produce in a mundane manner, Va'adayin kachem shasidin litarm lehuramo, and that the holy things which are going to be separated were not yet separated. So esasha yirimu, which in the future tense, which will be separated, wasn't separated, don't be mechaled, don't treat it mundane, don't eat it as chulin, because it's still forbidden, because of that you have inside of it the tithing which was not taken off yet, which that's was inside of which is called that of tevel. Now, v'oichel kizayis from that tevel, koydim shi'afash men, the truma gedel, the truma zmaiz, if someone does eat a nal size of this untithed produce before you take off the truma gedel, which is that around 1/50th that's given to the koyin, and the truma zmaiz, which from the maisa that one gives to Levi, a tenth of that has to be taken off and given to the koyin, if that wasn't taken off yet, chayiv misav deshmaim, he's liable for death at the hand of heaven. Shalom says in the pasuk, v'loichalu es kachar b'nei yisrael, but they should not desecrate the holy things of the Jewish people, which actually is from a gzeirah shava. From a tummy person that eats truma tahira, the pasuk says, "Umaisu b'kichaluhu." He should die because yichalalu, because he desecrated. And here it also says yichalu. V'hisiu oisim avay nashma, and they're going to carry on them the sin of the guilt, which you see that it says yichalu and it says yichalu over there, just like over there says misa. So too over here is misa b'deishmai. Halacha chaf. Now, avol oichel midavish shenitlam in the truma gedel truma zmaisa. But someone eats from produce which truma gedel was already taken off and truma zmaisa was already taken off, meaning a tithe of the tithe was taken off, and v'adayin lo hivish min ha'maisers, and even though the maiser rishon was not yet separated, so it's like, for example, Toma, where he took off the trumas maiser from the pile before he even took off the maiser rishon, so he calculated, because really it's taking off a tenth, and take a tenth from there, but he calculated how much that is, and already took that off, so v'afilin neshubay el maiserani, so that's on one extreme. Now, going to the other extreme, but he didn't take off all of the tithes. And even if the only one that he didn't take off yet was the poor man's tithe, which on the year 3 and 6 of the Shemitah cycle, which in the Chiddush, and that is even though Maisa Ani has no sanctity, it's permitted for anyone to eat it and can be eaten anywhere. So in this middle stage, he's going to get lashes because of eating untithed produce, because it wasn't fully tithe. But it's not going to be death penalty. And the reason for that is, Shein Avoin Misa, because the sin of death is Ilibit Truma Gedil, Truma Zmaisa, only if he didn't separate the great Truma and Truma Zmaisa, but if he separated those two, it's not going to be death, but he will still get the lashes if he didn't separate even that of just Maisa Ani. Halacha Chavalf. Ashara Lo'ichel Tevel. There's a warning for someone who eats Tevel Shleihur Mimen and Maisus Bechlal, that where's the Ashara? Where do we know that we just said that there's a negative prohibition to get lashes? Someone eats Tevel that was not separated from the Maisus. Shlomo says in the pasuk in Devarim, "Loisucha lecho b'sharecha, masa d'gantcha b'gaim." You cannot eat in your gates the tithe of your grain, etc. Which the simple translation of the pasuk is that one cannot have their meiser where they live has to be taken up to Yerushalayim. But actually, the way the understanding of the pasuk is, the way the Rambam is bringing it, is that "Loisucha lecho," you can't eat your grain, your tevel, when it still has the meiser, which it says regarding meiser b'sharecha, that's still inside of it, that Maisa de Gantchev, so that if that's still Bisharecha, is still inside, you can't eat. That's the prohibition regarding Tevel. In the laws of Trumas and Maiser, the Rambam is going to explain, which is in Sefer Zeraim, what is obligated in Trumas and Maiser, what's exempt from Trumas and Maiser, what's biblically obligated, what's only rabbinically obligated. Now, if someone eats an olive size of rabbinic Tevel, or from the forbidden mixture of a vineyard, or from the fruits of the first 3 years of a tree out of Eretz Yisrael, which is only rabbinic. Now, although actually Arlon Chutzlarts, the Rambam said Halacha Yud is actually Halacha Mishra Sinai, but since it's not explicit law in the Torah, one would not get biblical lashes, rather Makonis and Makas Maradis, he's going to get rabbinic lashes. Halacha Beis Rambam continues regarding a derivative of these forbidden items, that of the fruit juices. Says Ram Hatevel regarding untithed produce v'chadish and from the new grain v'hektish and that of those which were sanctified to hektish usvichet shvis v'kalayim v'arla and the aftergrowth of the shmita year of forbidden kalayim or arla. So mashkin ayitzim perisin. So these are all forbidden, as we said, to consume. So the mashkin ayitzim perisin, the beverages that come out of those produce, those fruits, asrum kamaisim, the liquids are forbidden like the entities themselves. But v'ain looking alayim, but one does not get lashes for them because that's not the normal way of eating it, and therefore one does not get lashes. Chutz, there is an exception, miyayin b'shemesh al arla, the oil and the wine of arla, the fruits of the first 3 years, because we learn from Gzeirah Shabbah, it says pre by Bikurim, and over here, and Bikurim is learned up from Truma, which by Truma it says Teirish v'yitzer, so Gzeirah Shabbah is like an explicit in the Torah, so therefore you're going to get lashes for the Teirish and the Yitzer, which is wine and oil. and v'yan shekilai karam. Those are the wine of a forbidden mixture in a vineyard, which the halacha is that specifically by klai karam, one does get lashes, even shaloi kederach anas, even not in normative ways, which applies to the fruit juices. With this, shalokin aleim, that one is going to get lashes on the fruit juices, kederach shalokin alzeizim anabim shalem, just like you get lashes for the alas and the grapes of, again, these cases of klai hakerem, and for that of arla. Now, halach of Gimel, the Rambam continues regarding other food items that are forbidden. Says the Rambam, v'yesh b'kadoshim. Now, you have by sanctified entities, isur nachem b'machalis, other prohibitions regarding food items. V'kolim shatarim, they're all biblical. For example, isur nchesh b'achilis trumas, the prohibition about eating truma, which is a type of kadoshim, ubikurim, or from the first fruits of the seven types of species that Eretz Yisrael is praised with, that have to be brought up to Yerushalayim, v'chala, and the portion that has to be separated from every dough, also given to the kohen, u'maisasheni, and the second tithe, which has to be brought up to Yerushalayim, v'isur nchesh b'kadoshim mizbeach, and the prohibitions that apply to things that are sanctified for the altar, for example, pigel, the kohen had a machshava of being eaten beyond its time, benoiso was left over its time, v'tamei became tamei, and each one of them will be explained in their appropriate places, these isurim regarding food items, which again we're talking about, we're rounding off the halachas of machalas asuras. And the halacha of dalet, says the Rambam, v'shir kalichil mehem kezayis, and the measurement of all these prohibited eatings are all the size of an olive, bein lamalkas, bein lakaris, whether it's to get lashes, whether it gets the death penalty of karis. Ukvar be'am the Easter chametz v'pesach. We already explained the prohibition of chametz on Pesach, where bedina b'chas chametz and matzah, their laws are in the laws of chametz and matzah, and that's why it's not written over here. Al israchil mi'yom kippurim. Now, regarding the prohibition about eating on Yom Kippurim, israchil min b'fnei atzmoi, that's its own unique type of prohibition, because it's not really a prohibition on any specific food item. It's not in the chevtze, so to speak, in the object. Rather, it's on the kaver, that no person is allowed to be eating on that day as it is. And v'chein isra yitzim egefen al nazar, so to any derivative of a grape that's prohibited on a nazar, in the Shabbat Kol, that's not a unanimous type of prohibition. And therefore, because all these prohibitions that we just spoke about are fundamentally different than those that we spoke about over here in these prakim, in this parak, yizbar isra kol echad mehem, the prohibition of each one of them will be explained, v'shiuroi, and its measurement, v'dinam, and its laws, b'mkoy meharoi, in its appropriate place.